Football.
It's the football, 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 and sometimes other sports show. Here's your host, AJ Nicoletti.
What up? FFFSOSS.com. At FFFSOSS, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch.tv/AJNick3. What's good? If you're giving the pod a chance after you're a new follower from the delayed undertrend from the sheet, shout out to Sheet, shout out Timmy. And obviously, shout out the grandfather of the Sheet, Rico Bosco. Riders forever. Literally a bus rider. Literally a bus rider as I record this. Shout out Bosco, the legend. I think he was going to do a TikTok on the trend today, and I think his plans might have changed when he got on suspended. So, shout out Bosco, shout out Timmy, who's the man, for including the trend in the sheet again. And then if you're listening to this and you're a new follower, I really appreciate it for giving the show a chance. I really like college basketball, but it's obviously not in the title of the show. It's really an NFL, college football, soccer show. And then college basketball and golf would be my other two to round out the five, I guess. If you would say, what's your five sports you talk about the most, I'd be those fives. So this is a great time. This is a great time of the year. And four of my favorite days, if not the two favorite days on Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday are good as well. But if you're giving the pod a chance, I really appreciate it. And on this pod, we're going to fill out the bracket. That's what I do on the Thursday edition ahead of the NCAA tournament. We fill out the bracket as a show. I'll give you my whole bracket, my whole reasoning. And we'll go through round by round and then pod by pod. And then, we'll get through the first two rounds, then the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and then Final Four. So we'll do that. Then we'll recap the first four games in Dayton. Some pretty good games, besides the UVA one, obviously, which I told you they shouldn't have been in the field. I was right again. Thank you. So we'll do that. We'll do the first four and then we'll do a little golf at the end. And, no soccer. I'm not doing soccer friendlies. Okay. I can't get into it. I don't think there's any qualifications. Maybe Asian Cup again qualifications because I just did it. But I'm good on friendlies. Give me a week off here, soccer and change, and then we can get ready for the stretch run of the club season. So we got that to look forward to. But this is a heavy, heavy March Madness show, heavy NCAA tournament show. We will fill out the bracket and then talk about first four games. So that is the docket. Again, if you're giving the show a chance, coming from the undertrend, I appreciate you, and hopefully the trend is going well, because if it's not going well, I'm sure I'm going to hear about it. But that comes with the territory, so it is what it is. All right, so let's get into it. Fill out the NCAA tournament bracket. Let's start in the East with the number one overall seed. I don't think Connecticut will have any issue with Stetson, so we'll put them into the round of 32. And this 8-9 is a pretty interesting game. A lot of people saying Florida Atlantic shouldn't be an 8 seed. Like, a lot of the Mountain West people are saying they're the 10, not one of our schools. So, you know, they could have that argument. I can understand where they're coming from when it's that. The separation of, like, the 8 to 9 to 10, it isn't as big as a lot of people think it is, to be fair. So, I got UConn going past Stetson. And then this Florida Atlantic Northwestern game, I'm going to lean on Northwestern. I think, yes, the FAU run and them returning everybody, I thought they would have been better. You know what I mean? I thought they would have been better. Now, to be fair to them, maybe they were just kind of gearing up for this NCAA tournament, knowing that they would get in, knowing that they would have an opportunity to get a run again. But Dusty Mays, an outstanding coach, he's not going to be there. There are too many jobs open this offseason that he's going to get a job. So this is it for FAU. And they have all the guards, they have the big, and they can certainly play. But Northwestern, to me, Boo Boo is the best player on the floor, even though the FAU guards are outstanding. I think Boo Boo is the best player on the floor. Barnheiser, Langboard, Berry, all can score. Martinelli can score as well. He's got that little lefty hook from the right block. I like a lot of that Northwestern team. I love Collins. You know I love Collins. I love this father. Growing up listening to the NBA games. So I got a soft spot for the Collinses. So let's slide Northwestern into that round of 32. San Diego State UAB is an interesting game because UAB shouldn't be in this tournament. UAB should not be in this tournament. And San Diego State, as we know, the runners-up last year. Ledé back. Waters getting 10 a game. Parrish, Butler, They're both near 10. Trammell, a good player as well. Lede is the star, 20 plus. That's an outstanding number to put up in a college basketball season if you get past 20 plus. I mean, that's outstanding. So they have a great score. I don't think UAB can stop them, so we'll put San Diego State into the second round. And then Auburn-Yale. I really, if this was almost any other team in the 13, let's see, Vermont's the other 13. You got Sanford and Charles. Honestly, I would have picked almost any other 13 over Yale instead of Auburn here. Because Auburn, well, I think Auburn losing in the second round to San Diego State would tip that pick. But Auburn, to me, good team. I don't have a ill will towards Bruce Pearl. I like Bruce Pearl. But they just didn't play well in quad one. And that's what you're playing in the tournament. Like, I'm sorry. So, yeah, Auburn might beat Yale, and they should beat Yale. But they're losing to San Diego State. And you could pen that in. I'll tell you that right now. Auburn's losing that game. Keep going here in the first round. BYU, Duquesne. Duquesne, great story. Winning the A-10, stealing a bid. That BYU team showed me something coming to the Big 12 and scoring so many wins that they did, not only at home, but getting some good road games, road wins. So I think that is a good matchup for BYU. They'll be able to go up and down and score and do their thing. So I really, really like BYU in that spot. And Illinois, to me, yes, a lot of people talking Morehead State. Listen, that Illinois team is really good. That Illinois team is really, really good. So, I'm very interested to see that matchup, BYU-Illinois, because I think there's a lot of talent on both sides of that floor. And I think that is a awesome, awesome basketball game that I'm really, really looking forward to if we get it, like, and really hoping we get it. So Illinois, BYU in that second round, and then we got the bottom pod, Wazoo, Drake, Iowa State, South Dakota. I'm just going to cover up Wazoo here. I didn't like Wazoo all season. I watched a little bit of the Pac-12, you know, staying up late. To me, not a good enough team, not a good enough league. Let's put Drake in the second round, and then Iowa State will beat the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's right, Jackrabbits. All right, so into the second round, Connecticut, Northwestern, San Diego State, Auburn, BYU, Illinois, Drake, and Iowa State. So pretty chalky besides the Northwestern and Drake picks. And to be fair, guys, like, I'm not going to take a ton of upsets. I just don't see a ton of them this in this region, especially the East. Drake, I do. But I don't see a Duquesne beating BYU, no offense. I don't see Morehead State beating Illinois. I think Underwood's a good coach. But no. So into the second round in the East now. And in the second round, here's where Northwestern runs into a big problem, which is Connecticut, because Connecticut can throw Newton. Spencer can guard a little bit, that they don't want to throw him at Bowie the whole time, right? Castle, Diarra. So many guys can guard Boo Booey. And, yeah, Martinelli and some of the other players from Northwestern have some size. Nobody's got clinging size, okay? That guy's an animal. And when you have a post presence in clinging, you have a pass-first, great scoring point guard in Newton, and you have the shooter in Spencer, and you also have Caravan, who's like that X-factor kind of player. You get Castle in there, or Diarra, or Johnson, ball off the bench, whoever it is, Connecticut can play any style you want. Finesse, tough ball, you know, like, it doesn't matter. UConn's winning the game. So Northwestern runs to a buzzsaw in that second round, Connecticut to the Sweet 16. San Diego State beating Auburn. I'm just telling you right now. Broome and Williams, Big Mazar, Jones, they're good players. I like Bruce Pearl. Auburn is a fantastic university. Give them credit with having to deal with Alabama in that state. For them to have the success they have, give them credit in all the sports, right? All that being said, this San Diego State team is proven. They're experienced. They get it done in March. Auburn all season has, besides a couple times when they stepped up and gotten big wins, they've fallen flat in some big spots. I'm taking San Diego State in this second round matchup. All right, moving down. BYU, Illinois. I think this is a really exciting game. And the BYU guys, Robinson, Kell, Traore, Johnson, they all get double figures. Hall and Waterman are close to nine. We know this BYU team can score, and I think Illinois will be fine matching it. Shannon can score. Damask can score. Hawkins can score. Gurrell's getting 10 a game. Okay? That Underwood Illinois team is tough. They're battled. They can do it a bunch of different ways, whether it's Shannon take over, or they still run sets for him, or Hawkins gets his offensive game going. BYU is a good team. They run into a better team in Illinois in the second round. All right, at the bottom here, Iowa State, Drake. Drake, good story. DeVries gets stopped here. Iowa State can run so many guys at you. Lipsy, Gilbert, Mama Klovich, double figures. King, Curtis Jones, both close to double figures, if not double figures. Iowa State's a good team. They're going to grind you out. I think they get picked off in the next matchup with Illinois, and I'll break that down a little further when we get to that after we do all the other pods in the first two rounds. But this Iowa State team, even if they do get Wazoo, got to find themselves in a Sweet 16 in Boston. Have to. Especially after everything everybody has talked about Iowa State not being seeded correctly. They should have been the first two, and there's no way they're the eighth overall. It's like, right? Fine. You have all that talk. You better get your butt to a Sweet 16, minimum. You better be in the second weekend, minimum. You got to have all that talk, okay? So we'll see. All right. Let's go to the West. So just go down. Carolina against Wagner. Wagner picking up a nice win. Even though I play seven guys. Crazy. So Carolina will have no problem with them. First game of the tournament, Mississippi State, Michigan State. I think either of these teams could beat Carolina. I think either of these teams will beat Carolina. This is not a typical Carolina team to me. Besides RJ Davis and Baycott, like, I don't think Cormac Ryan's a good player. Is he ready for the big spot? Ingram's a good player. Are they ready for the big spot? I don't know. I know Davis is, and Baycott has been in a bunch of big spots. Are the rest of the guys ready? I'm not sure. So I think Michigan State or Mississippi State is beating Carolina, and I have Michigan State beating Mississippi State. And I think it's more about, because Mississippi State, to me, is a good team. Hubbard, Smith. Smith's an excellent, excellent player, Tulo Smith. Excellent player. But Michigan State has something that other teams don't have. Izzo. And they also have, like, I don't want to say they're dog. I hate, you know, describing them like that. But those are gamers. Hoggard, Walker, Akins, Hall. Those four. And then you throw in Sissoko or Cooper as a bit, whatever. Or you come in and bring Holloman as another guard.
I mean, that Michigan State team is dynamic. They can create matchup problems. They can guard. Like, I think they've been waiting for March. Like, I really, truly do that. I truly believe that because they make no sense to me. And I think they're primed for a run. So you could say, AJ, you've been on this Michigan State team all year. They've done nothing for you. Why do you keep doing it? Well, that's just who I am. My bad. I'm a loyal guy. I love this. What do you want me to do? So we got Michigan State meeting up with Carolina in that second round. Next pod, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon. I'm going to pull an upset here. Give me Grand Canyon. I haven't been really impressed by St. Mary's. Yes, they had a great in-conference, knocking Gonzaga off, winning the title. Congratulations. That's outstanding to do in your league, especially going against Gonzaga. Outstanding. They're out of conference stunk. So give me Grand Canyon. I like Grand Canyon there. And I'll cover it up because I have Bama beating Charleston and Bama beats Grand Canyon anyway. Bama to Charleston, first to 100. Okay? That is a track meet. You want, like, that is a track meet. Alabama, Charleston, first to 100. All right. Clemson and New Mexico. I'm hearing this New Mexico team is hot. Everybody's talking about them. Listen, I remember in the beginning of the season, everybody in the ACC was talking about Clemson Tigers. They had an outstanding out of conference, struggled a little bit in conference, which does discourage me a little bit, but out of conference, they were fine. Hall, double figures. Gerard, double figures. Hunter, double figures. Scores, different multitude of ways that those guys can score. I like Clemson in that game. Give me Clemson over New Mexico. Baylor against the Fighting Toothpaste from Colgate. Baylor's a really good team. You know how much I love the coach, Drew. Guards, and then the bigs. Walter, Dennis, Love, Nunn, and then Bridges and Missy. Can Missy stay out of foul trouble? I think that will be a big key for the Baylor Bears. Can the bigs stay out of foul trouble so they don't have to play involuntary small ball, let's put it. Okay, so we put Baylor in a second-round matchup with Clemson. And then at the bottom here, Dayton, Nevada, and Arizona, Long Beach State. Put pencil in, pen in Arizona in that second round. And Dayton, Nevada, it's an interesting matchup because, again, a lot of people saying Nevada shouldn't be a 10. A lot of people saying Dayton shouldn't be a 7. A lot of people had them as a 6, possibly. And other people had them as 8 or 9, which I disagree with. I don't think that's fair. I'm going to lean on Dayton here. I like Anthony Grant. Was on the old show, M&A. Shout out, M&A. Holmes gets 20. Santos gets 12. Brea gets 10. Elvis gets close to 10. That's, I know Holmes gets 20, but that's pretty balanced, the other three. So if one's not going, the other two can pick it up. I like Dayton in that game against Nevada, even though I do like the Nevada coach, the former UCLA coach, Alford. All right, so go back to the top here. Carolina, Michigan State. This game, I'm picking Michigan State. I think they can match up with Baycott, and I think Walker and Davis, talk about a great guard matchup. Oh, my goodness. I hope they would play that game Saturday night or something, if that's the game, because that is a awesome guard matchup. And you have Hoggart. You have so many guys you could throw at Davis. I'm not particularly worried about picking up foul trouble and all that. I think Michigan State has the wherewithal to get in a rock fight and to grind it out against Carolina, and Carolina don't want to grind it out. Carolina wants to go up and down, run, dunk, shoot open threes, get steals, get in transition, run. Michigan State's like, nah, we know what you want to do. We're not doing that. So I think Michigan State will create the lack of tempo, and they can win that game. So give me Michigan State to the Sweet 16. Alabama's going to beat up on Grand Canyon. Listen, Sears is, he's outstanding. I mean, that guy is excellent. Estrada's had a good year. Nelson's had a good year. Griffin's had a good year. Oates seems to be pushing the right buttons in wins, and in losses, they just don't shoot it. I don't really want to blame Oates in losses. It just seems like they do not shoot it well. I don't think that's on the coaching necessarily. So I like Bama to get to that Sweet 16. And then in the bottom here, the Clemson one and done, a win and out after that. One and done, I guess, is one game and done, but they get a win, and then they're bounced by Baylor. I just think, you know, even though Clemson had a very nice out-of-conference, and I made that point to get them over New Mexico, the step up to Baylor is another level. So give me Baylor to get to the Sweet 16. And then I have Arizona beating Dayton. Caleb Love is an excellent player. I thought he was the best player, you know, west of the Mississippi this year. If you look at just kind of talent, and all those West Coast schools that didn't have great seasons, UCLA, USC, kind of Oregon even though they're in the tournament. But Larson is a really good player. Balo the Big is very solid if he can stay out of foul trouble. You got Johnson is a slasher a little bit. And then Boswell can play off ball. He can have Love play off ball and him handle the ball. So that gives them another. And he's knockdown. When he's in rhythm, when he's taking the shot on his turn, he's a knockdown shooter. I really like his game, Boswell. So I'm going to put Arizona against Baylor in the bottom of that Sweet 16. So we'll return to the East and West after we finish up the South and Midwest first two rounds. We go back to the top here of the South. Houston, Longwood, you put Houston into the next round. This 8-9 game is an interesting game. Nebraska, A&M. If A&M can continue to shoot it the way they did in the SEC tournament with Taylor, Radford, Coleman, they were shooting it very well. Now, they will have to because Tominga is a scorer. I mean, that guy has no conscience. He doesn't care where he pulls up from. His idol is Steph Curry, and if you can't figure it out after you see him for 5 seconds, you should figure it out because he wears 30 and he scores and shoots it from anywhere. And besides him, I thought they have a pretty good team. Williams is good. Gary, they're both over 10. Wiltshire's had a tougher second half scoring, but he's been making other plays. So this Nebraska A&M matchup, it's a very good matchup. It's a very good round 1-8-9 game. I'm very excited to watch that one. And I think it's going to be Nebraska able to shoot it better than A&M. I think A&M was in rhythm in Nashville. You know, some teams struggle with game after game after game in 3 days. That A&M team with Buzz seemed to thrive in it, and they almost just kept shooting. They shot it almost better and better and better and more consistent, more consistent, more consistent as they kept playing those games in Nashville. And I think that steam wears off a little bit. And I think Nebraska has kind of just been doing that all year and taking shots and making shots. Give me Nebraska in the second round. Wisconsin, James Madison, Duke, Vermont in this next pod. The part of my take pod. I'm going to take the two favorites here. I don't know a ton about James Madison or Vermont, to be fair. Even in doing the research, James Madison, you know, won their conference, give them credit. They beat Arkansas State, Vermont 3 years in a row, coming out of their league. It's not a national championship team for Duke, but it's not a losing the first round team for Duke. So Duke beats Vermont and Wisconsin beats James Madison. Tech, NC State, Kentucky, Oakland. NC State, similar to A&M in the sense of kept playing, kept that momentum going. The days off, yes, recovery is important. Yes, scouting your next opponent is important, but NC State wanted to play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They just wanted to play. Line somebody up, let's play them. That's what NC State wanted to do. And that lull from Saturday night to Thursday or Friday, that's a long lull to not be playing after you're playing every day. And Tech can slow it down and be creative in the ways they want to defend. So it's going to be Tech. I think they'll body up Burns fine. Kentucky, Oakland. Listen, Kentucky's really good. And that Kentucky team, if they figure it out a little bit defensively, could certainly be in Phoenix. So Kentucky beats Oakland. Bottom of this South here, Florida and Colorado coming out of the win are the first four. And then Marquette, Western Kentucky. I got Marquette going to the second round or Western Kentucky. And then I'm going to take Colorado here. I think Florida's injury is going to catch up with them. I think Florida benefited from some other teams fading out of the SEC, to be fair. So, you know, with the injury, I think that's big. I understand Clayton's a great player, but the injury really hurts them. Colorado with Simpson, DeSilva, Williams, Hanley, Lampkin, they're all over 10. They all make plays. They all score the basketball. So I'm going to lean Colorado in an upset over Florida. So that matches up. Colorado, Marquette will go bottom of the top here. Marquette beats Colorado. Colorado run ends there. I have Kentucky beating Texas Tech. I think Kentucky will just continue to score, continue to score, continue to score, and Texas Tech cannot match that pace of Kentucky. I'm going to lean with Wisconsin over Duke. I just, for some reason, Wisconsin really has some bad blood for Duke because of that championship game and what happened at halftime. They think what happened with the referees at halftime. So Wisconsin's going to want to beat Duke really bad. I don't think it's a necessarily great Duke team. I don't think it's a great Wisconsin team, but I'm going to lean Wisconsin there. And then Houston, Nebraska at the top. If Nebraska is able to shoot their threes and make their threes, they can beat Houston in this 8-1, but they have to defend a little bit because if they, like, I understand they want to get in a track meet. They don't think Houston can score with them, but if it's not them getting to the 70s, if it's like a fast pace, but there's not a ton of scoring, Houston still wins that game somehow in the 50s or low 60s, you know? So I'm going to take Houston to get to the Sweet 16. So Houston, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Marquette in that South Regional. All right, to the Midwest, Purdue over Grambling. After Grambling won that game over Montana State comeback, second half into overtime. That was a great game. Utah State, TCU, shout out Danny Sprinkle, did not return a point from last year's team. Jamie Dixon's TCU. Listen, the TCU guys have been there for 9,000 years, okay? I mean, Miller's been there for 9,000 years. And he's been in college basketball forever. So I'm going to go Utah State. New blood, give me Utah State. No other reason than I like the coach at Utah State. Gonzaga, McNeese, Kansas, Samford. This is where you're seeing a lot of 12 and 13. And I'm just going to go the other way. Gonzaga in the tournament, to me, doesn't really get beat in the first round. And the fact that everybody, and you see, like, honestly, whatever Seth Davis does immediately in the response of the bracket coming out, I really like to do the opposite. So he's going, McNeese State, like literally like pom-pom cheerleading on CBS Selection Show the other day on Selection Sunday. Please, give me a break, Seth. Okay, give me a break. Gonzaga. Next, I have Kansas. Even though McCullough is out for the tournament, I don't know why Self had to declare that. Like, he couldn't have said, maybe he'll miss the first game. We'll try to get him right for the weekend. Like, he had to be like, he's out for the tournament. Like, I don't know, dude. Did you really have to do that? But the good thing is they got Dickinson back. Hunter Dickinson is a game changer for that Kansas team. And even though McCullough is a dynamic scorer, they still have Adams. They still have Harris, the guard. And between Ferpie and Timberlake, somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to step up and score the basketball from range out of those two guys. So that sets up a Gonzaga-Kansas matchup in the second round. We continue here. South Carolina-Oregon. I've been waiting to pick against South Carolina in the tournament all year. I don't believe in them. I don't think they're good. A solid enough record in the SEC and some out-of-conference wins. Like, I don't know. For me, I just, you know, I love Oregon. As soon as I saw 11-6, Oregon, please. South Carolina's basura. Shout out my Spanish speakers. Creighton, Akron. I think this Creighton team has a chance to come out of this Midwest. And I don't think they have a problem with Akron, which sets up a really interesting game in Oregon and Creighton with Kalkbrenner versus Dante. That's we're talking about matchups of the bigs. And then the bottom pod here, Texas, Colorado State. Colorado State coming off that first four win over Virginia where they blew them out, and Virginia sucks. Texas is really talented. Dessou, Mitchell, Asemus, Hunter, all in double figures, all really great players. And then between Shedrick and Horton, somebody's going to score. And then Cunningham and Weaver, somebody's going to score. Somebody's going to play defense. Somebody's going to get kicked out of the game between Cunningham or Weaver. Probably Cunningham. But they're going to do their jobs as role players. And I like that out of that Texas tie. And even though I wanted to pick St. Peter's over Tennessee, I'll pick Tennessee. But I'm picking Texas over Tennessee. You bet your ass I am. So we'll stay here. Texas is going to beat Tennessee. Connect has seen athletic matchups before. But that Texas team, they can throw so many guys at him that could defend him in different ways. Like, I could even see Dessou being on him. I really could. I wouldn't be shocked if Terry did that at all. So I really, really, really like Texas to beat Tennessee. Creighton beats Oregon. A great matchup of bigs and Dante Kalkbrenner. I think Creighton has just been together for a little bit longer than Oregon has. Oregon's had injuries. They haven't been able to play a whole season, even though they had a really nice run here and winning the Pac-12, give them credit to get into the dance and steal a bid. I still like that Creighton team to represent the Big East well. Gonzaga, Kansas. I'm going to lean with Kansas. I just think Dickinson is the best player on the floor. Gonzaga's had a nice, not a Gonzaga-like year. So even though I don't think they'll lose to McNeese State, I do believe they're out in the second round to Kansas. And then Purdue will beat Utah State. I think Edie's just too much for some of these teams that cannot match up. And especially with the way he's been officiated, like it's tough. I understand it, but I have Purdue beating Utah State getting into that Sweet 16. All right, so let's reset it here with what we have in the Sweet 16. As we look at the bracket, we have out of the East, it's UConn, San Diego State in a 1-5, and then at the bottom, it's Illinois, Iowa State in a 3-2. In the West, I have Michigan State, Alabama, and I have Baylor, Arizona. In the South, we have Houston, Wisconsin, and Kentucky, Marquette. And in the Midwest, I have Purdue, Kansas, and Creighton, Texas. So that's the Sweet 16. Let's go back to the East to set up this Connecticut, San Diego State game. And I, again, what I've said about Connecticut, they can beat you in so many ways. They'll say, oh, you want to play this style? We play it better. Oh, you want to play that style? We play it better. Oh, you want to do this? We do it better. Connecticut does it all. It's an outstandingly well-coached team. You know I love Hurley, and the talent there is outstanding. Shout out Tom Moore, an excellent assistant coach. San Diego State run ends to the same team it ended last year, except a couple steps earlier. Instead of the final, it's in the Sweet 16. Connecticut to the Elite Eight. And then Illinois is going to beat Iowa State because Illinois, yes, have they had some struggles offensively in that league? Yeah, because sometimes you get into rock fights. But Illinois puts it up. And I don't think Iowa State can score with them. So if Illinois is making their shots, Damask making threes, Shannon getting to the rim and ones, Hawkins making his threes, that Illinois team is very scary. They can light you up quickly, and they could end up beating Iowa State by like 30 because Iowa State can't score. That could be the 3-2 matchup in a Sweet 16. Like, Illinois blows out Iowa State. Iowa State scoreless for 6 minutes plus in the first half. Like, that could be the game. Like, I talk about this a lot. If your team has the history, the trend of, hey, we go 4 or 5 minutes without a bucket every game, you can't do that in the tournament. And especially if your track record of doing it consistently, you can't do it in the tournament. Illinois bounces Iowa State here in the Sweet 16, sets up Connecticut, Illinois in the Elite Eight. Connecticut wins this one. There's a trend here. Connecticut's my champion, guys. I told you that 3 months ago. I told you Connecticut was the champion 3 months ago. I don't know what to tell you. Connecticut beats Illinois. Klingon, Newton, Spencer. Three different ways to beat you. And Newton can beat you six ways himself, the way he plays. So Connecticut can play any style, can play any game, can take it to you. If you try to take it to them, it doesn't matter. So Connecticut gets to a Final Four representing the East Regional. Now, this Michigan State-Bama game I've been staring at in the West because I might be the only sick man that has this game unless you're a Michigan State homer. This is a really interesting game to me because very similar to the game Michigan State would have just played if they had beaten Carolina in my little scenario here. They're going up against a team that loves to score, and they just played a team that loves to score. So if they do the same rock fight thing that they did to North Carolina in my scenario that they do to Bama, guess what? Michigan State's in the Elite Eight, playing for a right to a Final Four. And I think that's what happens. At some point, guys, Bama, their shots are not going to fall. And it's not a knock. I like Oates. I got no problem with Oates. I think he's a very good coach. The what he did at Buffalo, tremendous. So he's a good coach. I got no beef with him. It's not just live by the three, die by the three with Bama. It's we play no defense. So we just got to outscore you. At least Kentucky tries to play some defense. Bama plays no defense, ever. So if they get in a rock fight with Michigan State, a grinded out rock fight, Michigan State wins the game. Michigan State wins the game. And it's not a knock on Bama. I got no beef with Bama. Styles make fights. That's what they say in boxing. The sweet science. Styles make fights. Baylor in Arizona here at the bottom of the West. I just think that it will catch up with Arizona that their league wasn't as good as they needed it to be. Yes, they played an outstanding out of conference. That's really why I kind of advocated for them to be the fourth and final one seed because I thought their out of conference was outstanding. And yes, Carolina won the ACC. Not a typical Carolina team. Doesn't matter. They still got the victories in the league and stuff like that. But they lost their conference tournament to a team that shouldn't be in the tournament. At some point, that's a knock, no? So anyway, Arizona gets this two seed here, and I believe this Baylor matchup, the guards of Baylor will be able to guard Love, switch on Love. Missy versus Paolo is an awesome matchup. That's an awesome matchup. And I just think Missy and the Baylor Bears just snick ahead of Arizona. I think that would be a classic. So that sets up Michigan State, Baylor, and I can't put Michigan State in the Final Four because if they get out in the first round, I'll look like an absolute fool. So this is where I have Michigan State's season ending to Baylor in an Elite Eight. So Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears coming out of the West and going to a Final Four. Back up top right to the South. We got Houston, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Marquette. Houston will beat Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin will give them a game because both strong defensive teams with good mindsets, play hard on that end, and you'll score buckets on the other end, and we'll figure out offense sometimes if you're struggling. Wisconsin will run out of gas. I think Crowell and Wall and Storr, great players. Hepburn, pretty banged up, but gamer. Klesmith's the shooter if he's there and open and making it consistently. So Wisconsin can beat Houston. They got to make all their threes if they do that. If they don't do that, they're not going to beat Houston. They're not as athletic. They're not as experienced, to be fair to them. No offense to Greg Gard and the Wisconsin team, but Houston has more experience. And I'm going to put Houston into the Elite Eight. Okay? Kentucky Marquette. Kentucky wins the game. It, you know, Kolek's status, I mentioned it before. I am certainly concerned about it, but Marquette has enough with Jones and Adario and Joplin to score, and Mitchell's chipping in with points as well. So they have enough to get through some early games, you know, the Western Kentucky game, but I think they run out of gas against this Kentucky team. Kentucky's going to run them up and down the floor. Is Marquette can play that style. They played a little bit in the Big East, but they want to do it at their pace. They don't want other teams to do it to them, kind of a thing. So I think Kentucky, between how talented that team is, Reeves can score, Dillingham can score, Reed Shepard's the shooter, Mitchell, Wagner, Edwards, Terrio, Bradshaw, Big Z, they can do so much. He can throw so many lineups at you, and I understand he's going to cap the bench a little bit and manage some minutes, I'm sure. That would be smart, for sure. But all that being said, that Kentucky team's really good. They're beating Marquette. And I think they beat Houston, too. Because Kentucky is a matchup nightmare for Houston. Because if Kentucky is scoring, they don't really care about defense. And I don't know if Houston can score with Kentucky if Kentucky is at all, you know, levels. If they are moving the ball efficiently, not turning the ball over, making their threes, getting to the rim, getting fouled, making their free throws, I don't think Houston can beat them, because that Kentucky team we've seen put up 100. And it almost looked easy when they've done it. So if the game's played at Kentucky's pace, Houston can't win. Houston has to grind it out. Houston has to play it at their pace. And yes, they're the better team, but Kentucky can flip this game on its head if they make their shots. And I think they will. Give me Kentucky to get to a Final Four. And then in the Midwest, we got Purdue, Kansas, and Creighton, Texas here at the bottom. Purdue's season has to end somewhere. I don't want to say I was anti-Purdue, because I do like Edie. I have no beef with Painter. But the guards who I've been praising all year for developing and getting better, they went back to their previous settings in the Big Ten tournament and down the stretch in some of these games, where they can't inbound the ball, they can't get the ball across half court, and they can't get the ball in the post to a 7'4" Edie. Are you kidding me? You know, what are we doing? Fake low, go high. Fake high, go low. I mean, how hard is it? He's 7'4". Just throw the ball anywhere around him, he'll catch it. The fact that you get it tipped and turned over, that's a disgrace. So, Purdue, who I've been praising all year, will lose to Kansas. Because Harris doesn't do stupid stuff with the ball in his hands. And I know they don't have McCullough, but they still have Dickinson, and Dickinson can play Edie. They had wars. And Dickinson can defend him. Other bigs can't, and other bigs don't know how, and other bigs haven't had the history of defending him. Dickinson has. And I think that's gigantic. And I think that cancels out the Edie advantage, and I'll take the Kansas other players. I will. I don't want to call him supporting cast. That's not necessarily, you know, because Adams is a star. That's not fair to him. But if you cancel out the Big Ben, I'll take Kansas. So Kansas gets to a regional final, and I think they're going to play Creighton. And I've been going back and forth on this game with Creighton, Texas, because Texas is outstandingly talented, very similar to a Michigan State team that I just did not get out of their own way in some of their conference games, and they should have a much better record than they did. That being said, Creighton, coming off the matchup against Oregon and matching up here against Texas, I think they're fine. I think they're fine. Kalkbrenner can deal with DeSue. Alexander and Shireman, you know, can deal with a Hunter, a Mitchell. And Asemus versus Ashworth, that's a matchup. Oh, my God. You want to talk about guards. Oh, man. That's a great guard matchup. So I'm just going to lean with Creighton here. I think McDermott is just slightly a better coach than Terry. Terry doesn't have the tournament experience that McDermott does. So I mean, Creighton to face off against Kansas. And it's the matchup that those Creighton fans always want. You know, they want a shot at Nebraska. They want a shot at Kansas, just like Wichita does. So Creighton gets their shot at Kansas, but Kansas wins the game. Dickinson versus Kalkbrenner. Give me Dickinson. And again, as much as I just complimented the Creighton, you know, cast alongside the big man in Kalkbrenner, I like the Kansas side better if you cancel out the big. So my final four, UConn, Baylor in the East-West matchup, and then I got Kansas, Kentucky, Midwest, South. So I'm going to put Connecticut in the final against Kentucky. I think Kansas will at some point run out of gas without McCullough, and it comes against a Kentucky team that has just so many guys you have to defend, and Kansas will run out of guys. So that gives us Connecticut, Kentucky championship, and though Kentucky has had an unbelievable run to this point in my bracket, Connecticut, too much, too strong, too big, too versatile, too dynamic, too good, and two titles for Dan Hurley. That's what I'm thinking. Back-to-back, UConn, and I understand, Asia, you picked the number one overall seed. Asia, you picked, everybody's picking UConn. Well, I'm trying to be right. I gave you two threes and a four in the final four. What do you want? I go all chalk. I saw some people, and I saw, by the way, Russo went crazy on Stephen A. Sharp today. Wednesday, as I record this. Oh, my God. Watch that clip. If you're a Mikey the Mad Dog fan, go watch that clip. He's the best. He's screaming at everybody. He's the best. So I got UConn beating Kentucky in the final April 8th in Phoenix. I'll give it 76-68. They pull away a little bit. So that is the bracket. Connecticut out of the East, Kentucky out of the South, Baylor out of the West, Kansas out of the Midwest. That's the final four. And we will recap all the games, and I'll do more previews when the games are actually real. You know what I mean? Like, these are all hypothetical. I'm just kind of playing it out. So obviously when the matchups are real, I'll deep dive into the guard versus guard, big man versus big man, all that kind of stuff that you'd look forward to. So this was a, you know, look at why my reasoning and how I think it's going to go down. So we filled out the NCAA tournament bracket. All right, let's talk some first four. First 16 on Tuesday was Wagner versus Howard. Wagner holds on. I mean, they had built a lead, but they only had, seven players? So they get into any foul trouble. They were in trouble of being disqualified from the game. You don't have enough players. So Wagner with the good win there. Shout out Staten Island. And then I told you Virginia shouldn't have been in the tournament. I told you that. I told you it before when I mentioned Colorado State getting in to the round of 68. Colorado State destroyed Virginia. Virginia stinks. They can't hit a bucket, and they prided themselves on defense. And even though it wasn't like Colorado State put up by 80 or anything like that, they blew out Virginia and won by 25. So give them credit. A very good game plan from Colorado State. And Virginia stinks. I told you that. They shouldn't have been in. They were the team that I had an argument with the most, especially the way it was seeded. So Virginia played in Dayton, gets bounced, good. The other 16 versus 16 on Wednesday, Grambling State second half comeback over Montana State. Brandon Walker and Montana State were doing everything they wanted until Grambling State with a great second half comeback edges out Montana State to get to the round of 68. And then Colorado Boise State, low scoring, rock fight. Colorado wins it. Boise State not able to, you know, they had a ton of offensive rebounds, but they couldn't continue to capitalize them on. And Tad Boyle, credit Rothstein, even though sometimes he's a clown. Credit Rothstein here. He asked them how they were able to do it defensively. He said, we got tougher. We got tougher, which, you know what? Sometimes you just have to do it. Sometimes you just have to put your body in between the basket and your defender, and you're saying, I'm getting this rebound. End of story. So give Colorado credit there to get through the first four. Boise State going home. Colorado on to the round of 68. Wrap it up with a little golf here. Valspar Championship this weekend. Spieth, JT, Xander Schauffele, Harmon, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Cam Young, Straka Finau amongst the notables in this tournament. The Snake Pit down there. Good tournament. Not a bad field, but again, a field where if you're one of these guys looking for your first win, like, yeah, if Spieth and JT are cut, like, you got a chance. Like, there's some major champions, of course, but if you're playing some good golf and you have an opportunity on Saturday or Sunday, this could be your chance to win. So, you got to take advantage of it. So out of the, what, back-to-back almost signature events between Arnold Palmer and the Players? Is the Players technically a signature event, I guess? I don't know. It's the Tour's signature event, but is it a small field? No, it's not. It wasn't a small field. That was a big field, to be fair. So, all right. So talked a lot of basketball. Talked a lot of tournament. On Tuesday's show, we will recap it all the games. All the big moments, hopefully some buzzer beaters, some upsets to talk about. So that on Tuesday's show. And again, if you are new, thanks for giving the show a shot. And hopefully we get some winners for the undertrend. All right. Everybody enjoy the first 4 days of the tournament. You know I will. And we will recap it all on Tuesday's show. Be well. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the basketball. Peace.
Sometimes Other Sports Show. That's the name of it? Guys, check out his podcast. That sounds like my kind of podcast. Football, 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 and Sometimes Other Sports Show. Sounds like me.